Good morning once again. We continue in our studies of 1 Samuel. In the previous studies, we've seen the birth of one of God's preachers, one of God's prophets, and how he came into the world. We've seen the fall away of the church, the God's chosen people, the Israelites, and how they began to follow the sons of Eli in wickedness. We've seen the Lord open the door for the Philistines to come in and chasten his people in a very harsh way. And this morning we're going to see how the Lord has used that chastening to turn his people back to him. I recently was asked about a post that I had forwarded on Facebook. Sometimes when I see something on Facebook that I think is true, I'll forward it on so that those who may not know the Lord may see something of the Lord in me. It was a quote, a supposed quote by Charles Spurgeon, and it went like this: "He who grows in grace remembers that he is but dust, and therefore does not expect his fellow Christians to be anything more. He overlooks 10,000s of their faults because he knows his God overlooks 20,000s of his own." End of quote. Now, whether or not this quote is of Charles Spurgeon, we really don't know, because today's writers have taken a lot of what Charles Spurgeon wrote in the effort to make it more understandable, they've changed a lot of what he wrote. So either way, it doesn't matter. I believe what was said there is true. Who makes us to differ? What have I got that the Lord has not given me? We do not see ourselves any different from all of mankind. In fact, we speak of that matter most frequently, or most recently, in our Friday night Bible study. Sin is still prevalent in every one of us. Our flesh is as sinful as it ever was. But by the grace of our Lord and Savior, we have a standing of righteousness that was imputed to us by Him. Not of anything that we have done, but from what He has done. By His perfect obedience to the Father's will, even the death of the cross, all for whom He died will be called unto Him and receive His mercy. There will be no empty seats. We pray for our loved ones every Friday night. I pray for my loved ones. I pray for my sister-in-law. And I'm going to ask now that you might pray for her also. I don't know what happened yesterday, but while she was here, she left in tears, wondering why the Lord hasn't answered her prayers. And I took a moment to explain to her that God does answer the prayers of His people, but not in the way the natural man thinks sometimes.
That's right.
Her grandchildren have been taken from her son for reasons that don't need to go into, and it breaks her heart that she can't see them. And I explained some things to her about the gospel of God's love for His people, and sometimes that love can be harsh. Because we don't see it for what it is. So we pray for our loved ones, and I pray for her in that matter, that the Lord might have mercy upon her. What better love could one have for another than to pray for their salvation? Lord, Lord, may it be Your will, O Lord, that save those, to save these ones who, as we were at one time, know You not. Do we not pray that God may increase as he sees fit the numbers of his church? I was asked when I posted that, if the statement was true, then why am I? Why am I so condemning of other churches and Christians? And I answered it this way. I do not condemn people. That's God's job. God does that. But I will condemn false religions.
Amen.
Because that's what my Lord has told me to do in His Word. Beware. Take heed. Watch out for dogs. And there is a Christian religion in the world today that is of the devil and preaches a different Jesus, not the sovereign, ruling God that we see in Scripture, but one who is subject to man's will. I share this with you this morning because it truly is my desire. It truly is the desire of all of God's people, that those who look to their own actions as a way to be with God turn from their idols and see the truth. The truth is this, that Christ is the only way. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Jonah had to learn that the hard way, didn't he?
Yep.
We've talked many times about imagining what it must have been for that man to go through what he went through, being swallowed by a whale. And by the way, that's a true event that happened in history. It's not a story of somebody's imagination. Truly, a man went through the death of being swallowed in a whale, and it was recorded for our learning, so that he could come out the other side and preach salvation is of the Lord. We are saved through faith, and our Lord Jesus is the author and the finisher of that faith. In James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Free will doctrine is a snare of the devil, and it takes your eyes off of Christ and it looks to man and his power of decision. When we preach and teach with meekness, because we know, but by the grace of God, there go we, there go I. We take these instructions that Paul was inspired by God to write to Timothy seriously, where it says in 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them the repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Yes, sir.
That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. As we look into God's word here in chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, let us remember those inspired words that Paul wrote to teach all of God's saints. As we share the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace with those whom our Lord is pleased to cross our paths with, we share it, but we share it in meekness. But meekness doesn't mean that we're going to accept that false religion. And sometimes it sounds like we're being harsh on them. That's exactly why that person asked me that question. Why am I condemning the churches around me? I pray. You know, if you think about it, didn't the Lord bring you two out of Mormonism? No? What was it? No, that was Lamar and Carol. I'm sorry, Lamar and Carol. Yeah. Brought them out of Mormonism. I'd love to see the church across the street leave that false doctrine, leave those idols, and come to the true and living God.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you saw Kathy? Brought you to tears with joy, didn't it? Does that sound hateful? Love to hear people who have come to the Lord, but to the true and living God, not an idol. So let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 7. And the men of Kirjathaim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord. Remember, the Philistines had taken the ark and they had captured it and treated it as though it was part of their possessions, as they do most of the things from their war, as bounty. And the Lord brought his wrath against them, even after he had used them as his whipping stick for his people. So then they took it back, they put it on the milking kine, the cows that were still had babies, and the cows went their way on their own. They didn't turn one way or the other, and they went back to Israel. So we remember that, right? Okay, and so the Lord, the Kirjathaim came down and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjathaim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Turn away from your imaginary gods. Turn to the true and living God, the God-man, God in the flesh. Turn to Christ Jesus the Lord. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him. All things have been placed under his sovereign control, and he does whatever pleases him. And it pleases him to be merciful to his chosen people, to his elect, to all that the Father hath given him. Turn away from the idols, little children. Turn away from idols of self-righteousness and self-worth. And maybe, if God preventure, will give you repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In verse 4 of 7, 1 Samuel 7, we read, Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, There, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Oh, what love to have one intercede in prayer on your behalf. That's hard to... Russ, it's hard. It's hard to talk about the wonderful love my Lord has for me. That he would intercede on my behalf. One who cries out, Lord, have mercy on this one. The price for this one has been paid. My blood has been shed that this one should live. Oh, what love to have the one who created all things pray for me. To pray for you. In the 17th chapter of John, we read in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. If God be for you, could anything stand against you? I can't even get in the way of it. I don't want to. I willingly want to give myself to the Lord as much as I can. I look forward to the day when I can do it perfectly. When I will shed this body of flesh. But until then, I'll just keep talking about His love for me the best I can. In Romans 8:1, speaking of if God be for you, could anything stand against you? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He, my Savior, was made to be sin for us, for me. He took our sin upon Himself and paid the price for it. You talk about love? Oh, how I wish I could love even my wife. A drop of what the Lord has loved us with. God the Father poured out His wrath upon His Son. The wrath that belonged to us. In Isaiah 53:9, we read, and He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, and He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hands. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. God was satisfied with what His Son did, because His Son is perfect in everything. That means the price is paid. God the Father sees the blood of His only begotten Son and is satisfied. We, whose names were written on His chest plate before the stars ever twinkled in the sky, have been cleansed from our sins because of Christ. Our names are engraved in the palms of our Savior's hands. He remembers our iniquities no more for Christ's sake. We wear the royal robes of righteousness for Christ's sake. In Psalms 11:15:1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, not of anything that we have done, not of any decision that we have made. For I know I was dead before the Lord came to me. I know I can look back and see it, just as Jonah could look back and see he was dead in that belly of the fish. Not unto me, not unto us, but unto thy name. Give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Amen. Loved with an everlasting love. That's not just the man who wrote this song's words. That's what God says. I have loved you with an everlasting love.
Amen.
Before the world ever was, He loved you, surely. and Cheryl, all of us, all of his people, everyone he went to the cross for and died for and shed his blood for were loved before the world ever was. Led by grace, that love to know. We were led by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to know his love for us. Gracious Spirit from above, thou hast taught me it is so.
Yes, sir.
His forever, only his. Who the Lord and me shall part? Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Are you looking to Christ this day? Verse 3 again of our text says, Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. That's what we say to the churches of false religions. Put away your self-worth. Put away your unrighteous works and look to the works of Christ, because those are the only ones that count. Those are the only ones that are accepted. Whatever you do is nothing but dung. Are you looking to Christ this day? Put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another. Are you looking to Christ, to Christ alone? If you do belong to him, then the day will come when you will look to him. For I am his, and he is mine.